I also felt like during worship that, actually it was during prayer this morning when I, but it was confirmed during worship. I felt like there's somebody here that you have been in, the only way I could describe it is a holding pattern. You know how when you fly in to somewhere and they delay your landing for some reason, and so you circle and you can see where you're supposed to land, but they just keep circling. I feel like there's somebody in the room you've been circling. And you're so weary of circling, and you just, if you deal with motion sickness like I do, circling is torture. It's torture. But I feel like there's somebody in the room, you've been circling and you can see the place where you're supposed to land, but you're still circling. I feel like this week is a week for breakthrough for you. I really feel it strongly that some of you between now and next Sunday, you're going to go, whoa, I got my breakthrough. So if that's you, I just pray for you that you'll have the patience until the Father, the loving, kind Father lands it, and you're going to be like, oh, finally, breakthrough. So if that's you, just say yes to that. Just say yes to it. Amen. So we've been doing a theme all year called To Live in Awe. Our whole goal all year has been to just gaze in awe at God and how good he is. And there's a lot to see. If the angels for eternity in heaven can sing from before time began, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and they will keep on singing it, and they are still singing it, there's a lot to see about God and be in awe of, right? And so that's what we've been trying to do. This month, we've been focusing on our advantage or the Holy Spirit. And I just want to pray for us right now that we will receive. God, we ask you to pour out whatever you want to pour out in us or on us. And we open our hearts. You give us the permission to control our hearts, to either open or close our hearts. So right now, we open our hearts for whatever you want to speak in your word today to us. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit all month. And the first week, Ron talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit convinces us but doesn't accuse us. That was a good week. And then I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is fully God, but he's not ghostly. He's not like, you know, it's not like that. The Holy Spirit, last week I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches us, but not, he's not scary. Remember Miss Belk? Yeah. Teaches us, but not scary. And all of this causes us to live in awe. When we look at the work of the Holy Spirit, it causes me to live in awe of how good he is and how kind he is. Today, we'll look at Holy Spirit as enabler, but not dysfunctional. You know, that word enabler has some pretty negative connotations in our world, especially when it comes to addiction, you know, addiction-related behaviors. We're like, well, I can't do that for you because that's enabling you. And I understand that, I do. But the Holy Spirit is perfect, unlike us. And the Holy Spirit knows when he can empower us to do something good, to do something right, to do something well, and yet he knows not to empower us to do something that's harmful to us or someone else, okay? So he is the perfect enabler. He's the perfect enabler. First, in the intro, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. And because the kids are in here today, I want to read from the International Children's Bible. I like pulling from that frequently when we have kids in here. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. If you don't have your hard copy Bible, it'll be on the screen. But if you do have your hard copy, open it up. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14, because your translation is probably going to look different than mine. I still hear pages turning. That's a beautiful sound. When we speak, we do not use words taught to us by the wisdom that men have. This is Paul talking. We use words taught to us by the Spirit. We use spiritual words to explain spiritual things. A person who is not spiritual does not accept the gifts that come from the Holy Spirit or from the Spirit of God. That person thinks they are what? Foolish. I have heard that a lot about the spiritual gifts. He cannot understand the Spirit's gifts because they can only be judged spiritually. When it says they, it doesn't mean the person, it means the gifts. The spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And I really started to go through a long list from the Bible of all the spiritual gifts listed, but I thought that's going to take a long time. And truly, even though I gave you, or I'm giving you, there you go, some scriptures that you can look at for your own purposes to dig into what the spiritual gifts are, and I encourage you to do that. Those are not exhaustive. That's not all there is. That's just a sampling in my mind. I've seen the Holy Spirit do some things in people and through people that I'm like, wow, that's not on the list, but I know that's from the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted to talk about briefly the fact that if we're going to open our hearts to the spiritual gifts, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we need to understand their spiritual words to explain spiritual things. And sometimes physical words don't make sense. They don't. And so looking from the outside in, you would think, woo, that's crazy town. You just would. But we'll talk about the fruit of spiritual gifts and what that can look like. Just remember that the Holy Spirit, when he gives a gift to you in the moment, he always points to the Father or the Son or both. That's how the Trinity works. They're always pointing at the other. It's always outward focused love, always. That's what it is. So we'll look at what happens when the gifts are used as intended, and we'll take a moment and look at also how they could become dysfunctional. Number one, the gifts of the Spirit are given to bring the good news of Jesus to unbelievers. Gifts are used that way. If you'll remember in Acts 2, the disciples had been told by Jesus, go and wait because you're going to need the power. You're going to need to be enabled to be my witnesses. But the only way that's going to happen is if you have the Holy Spirit in you and on you. And so they went to the upper room and they waited, 120 of them. They waited and they waited and they prayed and they sang and they waited. And eventually the Holy Spirit was poured out and it was quite a show, unexpected show. It was a rushing mighty wind and then tongues of fire came down on each person and settled on their heads. And then the people present began speaking in languages they had never learned before. But when the fire and the sound happened, when the rumbling of the wind happened, people from all over Jerusalem gathered to come and see what was happening. And so when the people started speaking a different language, they were actually speaking in languages that they understood. And what they were saying was, how great God is. God is amazing. I love that. I love that. They weren't saying, it's a beautiful day. They were going, God is amazing. God is doing this so that you can hear the good news. So that you can hear. And then Peter, who was so crippled by what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he denied he ever knew Jesus. And then even after the resurrection, he didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He went fishing. He knew, did what he always knows. I don't know what else to do. I guess I'll go fishing. Right? Peter, that guy, stood up and preached because the Holy Spirit had given him a gift to be able to preach in that moment. And he preached an amazing message, fantastic message. But truly, I don't think it was the words that were crafted so beautifully, because that's not Peter's style. He's not a crafter of words like Paul. I think it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 38, it says this, Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. It is also for your children and for all who are far away. That's us, y'all. You who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourselves from the evil of today's people. Then those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. That gift of a language that was used to be understood in their own words, that gift led to the salvation of 3,000 people. It also led to people going, ha, 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 you're drunk. You're out of your mind. We have to be okay with both results. I personally think this is not in my notes. I personally think that pride is the number one block to the Holy Spirit being used in our lives. Because I don't like looking foolish any more than you do. I got up here to sing after the message a few weeks ago, and I had practiced. I had done those songs 1,000 times over the years. And I did the first song, and then I started to do the second song, and I could not find the melody line. You know that, don't you? You know how that feels. Could not find it. And I felt like the Lord said, that's all right, sing anyway. And I'm like, I really would rather just find the line in my head before I start singing with my mouth. He's like, sing anyway. Nobody likes looking foolish. Some of you didn't even notice. I'm so grateful for you. But I noticed, and they noticed. I can promise you that. You see, if we're going to be used by the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing to look foolish. And something broke off of me when I sang the wrong line until I found the right line. Something of the fear of man just fell away. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'll become more undignified than this. I will. You know? We have to be willing to enter that place, and it's risky. I know it is. I know it is. And it's also risky because you might be wrong sometimes. You might be singing the wrong melody line, and you have to be okay with that, right? But if you're willing to step into that place and go, God, I don't understand all this, but any gift you want to give me, for someone else to be saved, bring it. Bring it. And for those of you who think this doesn't happen today, I heard a testimony not long ago, maybe 6 months ago, of a missionary who's from Mozambique who got radically saved. His story is amazing. I'm not going to go the whole story. But after he became saved as a teenager and then became a missionary, he would go into all of these very remote villages in Africa. And in those villages, they spoke a language that no one else knew. But when he would go in, God would give him their language. And he could not only speak it, he could understand what they were saying to them. And he would give them the good news of Jesus. And that's not all. It happened like 9 times, 9 different languages that he can still understand today and speak. You see, the Holy Spirit enables us to do something we could never do on our own. That's what happens. So I'm just saying it does still happen today. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit are also given to encourage, strengthen, and comfort believers. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. Notice the capitalized Spirit there. There are different ways to serve, but all of these are from the same Lord. And there are different ways that God works in people, but all of these ways are from the same God. God works in us all in everything we do. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. Why? To help everyone. Some other scriptures pointed out very clearly that it's to strengthen, encourage, and comfort believers. There they are right there if you want to look it up. So the gifts of the Spirit are given so that we can share the good news of Jesus with someone, or so that we can strengthen and encourage and comfort a believer. Because just because you're a believer doesn't mean you don't get tired or weak in your faith sometimes. I do. You do. Right? And so God can give someone a gift to speak to you in a way that you know it's from the Spirit. I've had this happen where I hear words coming out of my mouth that I never thought to say before that moment. I am not that good. I have to think about things and plan, and that's the way I'm wired, right? So when something comes out of my mouth that's good, that's that good, I go, yep, that's God. That's not me. Right? But because God wants us to encourage each other. He wants us to strengthen each other. He wants us to comfort each other. So if you want to research that a little bit more, there's some verses there that you can look at. Here's the thing, whether it's the gift of tongues, to speak another language, healing, I believe all healing should point to Jesus, the healer, right? Whether it's words of wisdom or words of knowledge or prophecy or teaching or serving or bringing bagels in or making coffee or whatever it is for the purpose of encouraging and strengthening and comforting other believers. The result should always be to point people to Jesus, either for salvation or for strength and encouragement and comfort. Because here's the thing, and this is the hardest thing for us human beings. Divine love is always outward focused. It's not, oh, this makes me feel so good to do this. But the tricky part, it does feel good to be used by God. But if that's why we're doing it, that's the wrong motivation. And I pray to God frequently, God, purify me. Purify me. I don't want to do things for the wrong reason. I want to point people to you and only you. Because that's how divine love works. And again, sometimes I do well, sometimes I don't. But I keep getting better, hopefully. Point three goes into that concept. Gifts of the Spirit are not, underline, not given to bring status or power or validation to an individual using the gift. I shudder to think that someone might look at me or anybody in this room and think, ooh, they're special. They have the gift of fill in the blank. No. No. And the thing is, as human beings, we crave status. We crave to be validated. We just do. We crave influence. We do. I think God created us to do that, to want that. But we have to find that in Him, not in using a gift that we didn't even deserve, that we didn't earn to begin with, right? So in Acts chapter 8, there's this guy named Simon, and he was a very influential man who had converted to Philip's messages because of the miracles that had performed. But Simon, it's funny because he was known as a sorcerer, and it says in the Bible that he amazed the people of Samaria. And this cracked me up. And he claimed to be someone great. red light. Be careful. If someone claims to be great, be careful. Be careful. And it says, everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. And so they listened to him because he did these magic tricks. And he said, listen, I'm pretty awesome. You need to follow me. I'm pretty good. But then when Philip came along and preached the good news of Jesus and started doing miracles, people started getting set free from demons. Then Simon was attracted to that. I mean, that makes sense, right? He goes, oh, they have some new power I don't have. I'm going to get with them. Right? So then some of the disciples, other disciples, heard there was salvation taking place in Samaria. So they came and they laid hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. And the people did. And this is where our story picks up in verse 18. Simon saw that the Spirit was given to people when the apostles laid their hands on them. So he offered the apostles money. He said, give me also this power so that when I lay my hands on a person, he will receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, you and your money both should be destroyed. You thought you could buy God's gift with money? You cannot share with us in this work. Now, that's not a very nice politically correct message, is it? Peter was like, he did not pull any punches. He's like, no, you and your money both, you're done. And you don't have a part with us in this. But listen, you can see that he's being used by the Holy Spirit because he calls out his heart in verse 22. Change your heart, which could only be seen by the Spirit. Change your heart, turn away from this evil thing you have done, pray to the Lord. Maybe he will forgive you for thinking this. I mean, this is a word of knowledge. It's all of it right here. I see that you are full of bitter jealousy and ruled by sin. Again, not nicey-nicey. He could have been a little bit more tactful. I think so too, but that's not what he did. Simon answered, both of you. Simon's answer cracks me up. Because Peter says, pray to the Lord. Maybe he'll forgive you. And Simon says, both of you, pray for the Lord. Pray to the Lord for me. Pray that the things you said will not happen to me. I mean, he could have just prayed himself. Help me. I see now that he's right. My heart is full of jealousy. Bitter jealousy and sin. And I don't want to be like that. But instead he's like, no, you pray. We don't really know the end of that story, which happens a lot in the Bible. When I was reading that, I was like, Lord, help all of us. Help me, help you, help all of us to get rid of any pride that blocks you. Do you know how many times in the Old Testament, I've been reading my Bible plan, and I'm still in the Old Testament, of course. I love it. How many times in the Bible God calls out people for pride? And this is what it looks like. It doesn't look like necessarily boasting. It looks like independence from God. I got this. I can do it myself. That's what it looks like. Pride is really self instead of God. That's what it is. That's what sin is. Self instead of God. That's what it is, right? Oh God, we want any gift you want to give us. I don't want to be scared of them, but I want you to purify my heart to make sure they're coming from the right place. They're coming from a love for the person I'm talking to. A deep love for that person. Whether they're believers or unbelievers. And Lord, help us to get status and validation from you in the secret place. Because if I can get all of my status and validation from him in the secret place, then everything I do flows from that. It flows from that. I don't need you to say how great I am when God tells me how great I am. I also don't need you to tell me all the stuff I'm doing wrong when God tells me much nicer and much clearer. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there shouldn't be accountability. Of course there should be, but I think we get things so mixed up sometimes. And we forget that everything we do, whether it's a gift of the Spirit, whether it's fruit of the Spirit, everything we do flows from that secret place with the Lord. And then it comes from love. It comes from love. I feel like there's two extremes in the churches right now, currently. It's people who genuinely love God and who are going to go to heaven someday, but they are scared of the gifts of the Spirit. I get it. I understand that. Because they're, and sometimes it's like you just shake your head. I don't know. I try not to assume the wrong thing, though. I try not to come from this place of that's not from the Lord. Because I don't always have a corner on the market, right? But then there's this other extreme of people who are so gift conscious, they forget they're supposed to be delivered accompanying the fruit of the Spirit. Christ-likeness, right? And either way, you get status, unconsciously or subconsciously or whatever, consciously even sometimes, when you function that way. I was going to read a devotional entry and I just realized I didn't bring it with me. It was talking about the fact that God wants to use us and he wants to give us gifts, but it needs to be flowing through love. It needs to be flowing through outward focused love. It's funny because many of us know the passage from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know the rest of it even, right? But most of us think that word so is a word that attaches quantity to it, I should say. God loved the world so much, this much. That's actually not accurate in the original Greek. In the original Greek, it's more like, for God loved the world in this way. For God loved the world in this manner. So God showed us what love looks like. Love looks like giving away and expecting nothing in return. Oh, I got a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. To give selflessly and expect nothing in return. That's what it looks like. I want us to have the fruit of Christ-likeness flowing through this place. I want to have the gifts of the Spirit have a place to land in us and be used so that people can be drawn to Jesus or believers can be encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. I want that. But, oh, Jesus, help us to copy you by laying down our lives. The longer I live, the more I understand that love always costs something. True love always costs something. That's what we need. I just wonder if you'd be willing to pray this prayer after me. If you want to be used by the Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, say this aloud after me. Dear God, I surrender my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul to you. I ask you to fill me with the gift of your Holy Spirit. At any time, at any place, if there is a spiritual gift you want to give me, I say yes to you. If you want to use me to lead someone to Jesus, or to encourage another believer, I say yes. Please guard my heart from seeking validation from one of your gifts. Jesus, all of my worth is found in you and in our secret place of relationship. I will give all honor and glory to you because you are worthy of it all. Amen. You're worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Everything good comes from Jesus. But everything good also goes back to Jesus. That's the way it works. That's when life is an adventure. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was an adventure. Because the Spirit leads you. He takes you on a dance. He leads you. It's a good way to live. Stay hungry, my friend. Stay hungry, my friend. I'm amazed always by the Spirit and how he works, because he's the only one who can satisfy you and yet leave you hungry for more. And even hunger is a gift from the Spirit. If you feel like, oh, I'm too obsessed with the things of the physical realm, all you got to do is ask Jesus to help you. Say, can you share some hunger with me? I want more hunger. I don't have hunger, and I want hunger. And he will do it. He will do it. Next week, we're going to wrap up our advantage with something I'm calling This Is My Story. We're going to hear some testimonies of people who have been used by the Spirit or who experienced the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to just have some good testimonies. It's going to be great. Hope you come. We have chats and coffee and bagels and fruit in the family foyer. That's what I'm dubbing our area out there now, the family foyer. Okay, that's what it is. But I want to give you a blessing before you leave from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. Holy doesn't mean perfect, it means mature. Try again. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. Amen. Have a great week.